And that is Harlan Jacobson versus the Illinois Department of Transportation. And if you're ready, you can come up, Mr. Jacobson.
My name is Harlan Jacobson. I'm an actual plaintiff in this matter, and I'm pro se.
Right, and I'm going to ask you if you possibly can't keep your voice up.
Okay.
Okay, I know it's hard, but...
Okay.
We really do want to hear everything you have to say.
Very good. This matter is a constitutional question that affects not only my newspapers, but it affects every newspaper in the state of Illinois, and it perhaps affects newspapers all over the country. I have been operating 32 years as a newspaper publisher and been in court several times over constitutional rights, and up till now I considered a First Amendment protection was something that you could count on. This particular court case ruling says that there is no First Amendment right in Illinois, that they can ban an entire area in front of the rest stop half a block long. The entire concrete area is a First Amendment free zone, and the court upheld that action. And then they say, well, it's not a total ban because you can put your news racks up on the ends of the building, which nobody comes down there, there's no foot traffic whatsoever, but you can put your racks there if you sign a contract and you wait 2 weeks. And then if we like you, we'll let you do that.
Could I ask you just a sort of a start-off question,
yes,
which is, what types of publications are at issue here? In other words, is there a reason that they might sell better on tollways than on a downtown street? I'm just interested.
Okay, the reason that we have this problem is that newspapers used to be hard to publish, expensive to publish, and easy to sell because there was a lot of foot traffic on streets, and you could send some people down there and sell your papers. Well, all that foot traffic disappeared. They all went to private malls, and I cannot put my newspaper racks in private malls. So I have to be where there is traffic. There are now traffic only two places that's adequate to be newspaper sales material for a monthly publication that is not a popular publication. It's not a big popular thing that everybody is looking to buy. It's something they have to discover. So the only two places are airports and rest stops. Now downtown, I used to, for 25 years, sell in front of post offices because there were perhaps 5,000 people a day that went in the post office. That was a lot of foot traffic. But that turns out to be the same 5,000 every day. If not new people, I sell for 30 days, and I get the same 5,000 people. When I go to a rest stop, I get 5,000 new people every day. And the ratio is I sell approximately two papers a day in a news rack for 5,000 people. And they have to go buy my news rack. They have to see it. It's not something they're looking for. They're looking for USA Today. They're not looking for my papers.
But your paper, I take it, you're not saying that your news rack is in a different area from all the other news racks, USA Today rack. And I would like your answer to the state's point that you didn't try to find some middle ground with them. You're portraying this as a very black and white thing. You know, you wanted it one place, they wanted it another place, and never the twain shall meet. And they have come back and said, but we had a process. If you had another proposal, we would have listened to you. I mean, of course, you recognize that in the First Amendment, even core, you know, First Amendment speech, reasonable time, place, and manner restrictions are permissible.
Certainly. This has to be a reasonable regulation and has
right
to serve
time, place, for example, and manner. And if they've decided that, like, all the newspapers at a particular rest stop are going to be in a particular area, why is that not at least a starting point of reasonable? There's no claim of content discrimination here that I see.
I have never mentioned content discrimination.
No, which is important for First Amendment purposes, that this is not a content discrimination case.
Yes.
Okay.
But the problem here in this particular instance is, for example, at Beloit, that they do not allow any activity where there is foot traffic. The only place they allow it is on the ends of the building.
When you say Beloit, isn't that Wisconsin?
It's right across the...
So...
It's the nearest town.
Okay.
South Beloit is in Illinois, I believe.
That's correct.
What was the town?
I say South Beloit is in Illinois.
Oh, South Beloit, okay.
Beloit is in Wisconsin.
Do you concede that the state can impose some regulations regarding the placement of the racks?
Certainly. I have dealt with approximately 500 government entities, and they all have some request that you do certain things, and they make some preferences. But this has to have some government interest that it serves, and there is no government interest here that they're serving. They just say you can't be here in front of this building where there is foot traffic. You have to be away from the foot traffic. There's no compelling government interest there at all.
But do they say it only for you or for USA Today and
everybody.
Trib? And
it affects everybody. There are no newspaper racks at Beloit. And the reason there aren't is because you cannot get close enough to the foot traffic. You have to be at the end of the buildings. Nobody sells papers there. Across the street in Wisconsin, there are 16 papers because they have First Amendment rights on the Wisconsin side. The Illinois side, it's a ban. Total ban. And they have to have a contract, which is a prior restraint on a previous...
Well, wait a minute, Mr. Jacobson, before you get off into that, another point the state has made is that we're talking about a lot of factual assumptions, I'll call them, points, if you will.
Okay.
Namely, you know, where can they be? How many newspapers are at this thing? What's the distance between the doors that the public uses with the greatest frequency and the placement of the racks, and on and on and on, and yet we have no transcript in this case. You said in your reply brief that you didn't think we needed anything, but I think you may not realize, or maybe you do, how many of these facts could potentially be quite important, and you've left us unable to assess them.
We are in six other states. We've been in nine. We withdrew from three. We are next to the front door, close to the entrance. I have a case with the post office. The post office ruled that my rack should be placed non-obstructively.
Well, I understand that, but you can't testify on appeal. I mean, I know that you're in a position where you have personal knowledge of all of this, but we've got to follow the procedures in a way that's fair both to the state and to you, so that everyone has a chance to have their say on things. And I'm very concerned about the procedural posture of this case.
Well, there's nothing in the record that shows any governmental interest whatsoever.
But what if, in fact, the record showed, hypothetically, that in one of the rest stops you're complaining about, the newspaper stands are all 20 feet away from the door, and in another of the rest stops, maybe they're around the corner, you know, and 50 feet away from the door. I mean, those distinctions could conceivably make a difference to a reasonableness inquiry.
Well, my point is the regulations have to be reasonable and serve some governmental interest. There's been none of that. This is just an arbitrary ban. They do not allow any First Amendment protected activity in front of Beloit, for example. That's a total ban. They don't ask me to do certain things or put it in certain places. They just say you can't be there. You can only be at the end of the building. The end of the building is worthless. Everybody else has withdrawn their newspapers, and so have I.
I take it that you believe there are the two primary legal questions here. Is a rest stop a public forum, and may IDOT regulate the placement of news racks at rest stops?
I do not question that it's public forum. That's immaterial. It's open to First Amendment activities, whether it's a public forum or not, on a reasonable basis. This is not reasonable.
Okay. Thank you. Okay. Mr. Hussack?
May it please the court, I'm Assistant Attorney General Richard Huzek, counsel for IDOT and the other defendants, and I've urged the court to affirm the district court's judgment after the trial in this case on two grounds. The procedural issues, the court is aware of those, and unless it has any specific questions, I'll rest on my brief. And
No, you're not resting anywhere.
There's no rest for the weary in this courtroom, I know that's true.
No, because I have to tell you, I am troubled by the district court's finding that the sidewalks of a rest area are not a public forum. Sidewalks are one of the most traditional and pure public forums in this country. And the fact that a sidewalk of a rest stop is to improve safety on the tollways doesn't seem to me to be of a great deal of import. because after all, the purpose of a city sidewalk is to improve safety for pedestrians traveling around town. So, I mean, in fact, in some cases, a rest area sidewalk might be the only way to reach certain limited audiences. What better way to protest toll hikes than to distribute informational flyers at a rest stop?
It's not our position that rest areas are exempt from any First Amendment protection, but it is our position, and we emphatically advance it, that highway rest areas are non-public forums under this court's and the Supreme Court's long line of precedents. What they have said is, and they reiterated it in the International Society for Krishna Consciousness of New York, the airport case, that airports are not public fora, that although they may have passageways and hallways and sidewalks, that because they don't fall into that limited category that have historically and traditionally been devoted to public assembly and debate, then they can qualify as public fora only if they meet the designated public forum test, which is that they be intentionally opened to that type of activity. And the court there was clear that airports were not intentionally opened to that type of activity on a general basis. And that's certainly true also for highway rest areas. And I believe that the decision in the Sentinel case that addresses the factual issues that concern you, the reasoning is persuasive, where they say, although this may bear some superficial resemblance to a city park, that it does have some sidewalks next to the facilities and it's got a place to walk your dog or, you know, have a bite of lunch or something like that, that alone is not enough to satisfy the test for establishing a government-controlled property as a public forum.
Well, if we were to find that a rest area sidewalk is indeed a public forum, would the IDOT regulations survive strict scrutiny?
I disagree with the premise of your question. I would say that if you found that it was a public forum, it would survive the proper scrutiny, which is reasonable time, place, and manner analysis, because there's no content-based regulation here. If there were any suggestion, and I think we have a fair concession that there's none, that any of IDOT's regulations were based upon the content of these publications, strict scrutiny would apply. But it doesn't. If we were to go under an alternative analysis of reasonable time, place, and manner regulation, then I believe we would survive that. And I would add that if the court had any concerns about that issue, because the case was tried on a different footing and the evidence was presented based upon a different standard that the district court had held applicable during the preliminary injunction phase of the case, IDOT did not present evidence necessarily to try and meet a different standard. And so if there were any concern by the court as to that standard applying, we would ask not for a judgment in Mr. Jacobs' favor, but an opportunity to address that type of test. They are quite similar, though. And it's our position that even if the court made that ruling and applied a reasonable time, place, and manner analysis, that this would survive.
Are there any limits to IDOT's ability to designate the placement of newspaper racks? Can IDOT, for instance, require that all news racks be placed at the backside of a building where there is no pedestrian traffic whatsoever?
I don't think so, but it hasn't done that. What it's done is, in light of the different configuration of these rest areas, I mean, there are different highway configurations and interchange configurations, and accordingly, depending upon where the trucks come and whether it serves two sides of the highway simultaneously and where the car traffic is, they've set up each one differently. And it so happens that the sidewalks are configured at some of these rest areas such that having the newspaper boxes in front of the entryway doors to these facilities would be problematic if that was the designated pad or area for newspapers. And so what they have done is, for some of these, they have said, we're going to put it at the side of the building, but as Mr. Jacobson just admitted, does people know that there are news boxes at all of these facilities? And they go looking for USA Today, and it so happens that his is a periodical that needs an extraordinarily high number of new pedestrians walking by those boxes every day to generate his couple of sales in each time period. The First Amendment doesn't require special dispensation or subsidies for unpopular views. To the extent that we have a reasonable regulation, it's supported based upon the notion that the regulation is reasonable for all those who come. To the extent that there was some argument, and I don't see it here, that there's an unconstitutionality as applied argument that could be made, that no regulation could stand in the way of what he's trying to do, I think we're stymied by the problem that we don't have a trial record in front of us to be able to evaluate that.
Is it correct that all the publications have been withdrawn from South Bluff? The light stops.
That's the first I've heard of it today, and I'm not aware of it being in the record, but again, we don't have that evidence, and so I'm frustrated by the being asked to respond to a factual point that isn't really supported by the record that the appellant was required to make a part of the record on appeal.
Has IDOT ever allowed a change of a location of a news rack after receiving a request or an appeal from a distributor?
There's no evidence that it has or has not, and there's no evidence that it's received such a request. In this case, the plaintiff took the position, you know, sue first, disregard the government, we don't care what they say, we'll try this case in the court. And if every person who submitted an application for a parade permit took that approach, there'd be chaos in the streets of every city in which parades are a protected form of expression subject to time, place, and manner or other reasonable restrictions. I'd like to make one other point, and that is that in the airport case, the Krishna consciousness case, the court's opinion pointed out that you don't have to create special rules just for one person and analyze the issue as if, oh, it would be okay if only one person were allowed to engage in this activity. Government is reasonably entitled to imagine what would happen if everybody, if that were the rule, justifiably said, okay, we're all going to go there. Well, we do then have an issue with a number of news racks that appear at highway rest stops with obstruction of the entryways, both for snow removal and for pedestrian traffic. That's the point that was made by the district witnesses when they testified that when these designs were come up with for the location of these newspaper boxes, that was a legitimate consideration that they took into account. And we have nothing but one person saying, that's not good enough for me, I'm not going to talk to the government about it, I'm just going to do what I want, I'm going to put the law into my own hands, I don't negotiate over my First Amendment rights, and then he's going to try and defend his position in court with facts that are presented for the first time on appeal. That's not the way that First Amendment rights are vindicated. They're important rights. They're ones that IDOT takes seriously, but they're not ones that justify reversal of a district court judgment after a trial when these nuanced factual issues that might make a difference in this case are, as far as we can tell, we know that they were never presented to IDOT in the first place, and as far as we can tell, they were never really presented in any meaningful fashion to the district courts to be able to justify any exception from the otherwise legitimate general rule that this is the location for newspaper racks at given highway rest stops, and that if there's any basis for seeking an exception to those, that should be presented to IDOT in the first instance pursuant to the method that it prescribed.
Do you have a copy of the transcript?
No, I do not, Your Honor. No, that would have been unprofessional of me, both to order a copy of the transcript, not make it available to the other side, and then argue that somehow, you know, he should be prejudiced by the unavailability.
Well, in other words, there is no.
There is no transcript.
Do you know of any withdrawals of publications from any spot, any stop on the system because of disgruntlement about location of boxes?
As far as I know, this is the only case in which anybody has ever complained of it. And I'm limited to knowing what's in the record on appeal, which the court also has. And the highlights of that are contained in the district court's decision, which summarizes much of the evidence. Some of it favorable to the plaintiff, but also likewise favorable to the department in this case. So for those reasons, I urge affirmance of the lower court's judgment.
Thank you, Mr. Hazak.
Thank you.
Mr. Jacobson, how much time? 2 minutes.
Jacobson versus State of South Dakota, the U.S. Court of Appeals upheld the fact that I had a constitutional right to sell in rest areas. The state or the district court said that they did not have to determine if it was a public forum or not because it was open to First Amendment activities on a general basis, on a reasonable basis. And that is the way I'm in six states rest areas, and everything works fine. We do not have all these regulations. We do not have restrictions that keep everybody out. And if you look at Illinois, in my pleadings, I show you the thing about Beloit is right in my original pleadings, that there are no publications Illinois, and there are 16 in Wisconsin. That's that in the pleadings. And I have been doing this for a long time, and I've never had anything as arrogant as this to try to keep you out of news, out of rest areas as this particular situation. There's no justification for it. There's no compelling government interest, and they leave us no other ample alternative at all. It's either rest stops or nothing. I canceled my casino newspaper because I could not get distribution. My Illinois paper went out of business because no distribution.
Thank you very much, Mr. Jacobson. Thank you, Mr. Huzzack. The court will